Let's just turn to Revelation 11. We've kind of gone through a lot here with this particular chapter. Some of it is somewhat redundant from when we went through the Feast of the Trumpets, but we do this because we make tapes and we put this on the internet. You never know who's going to be listening, so we want to make sure that if they're only listening to Revelation 11 and they haven't listened to the rest of the series, then they get all, amen, that's there for them to have. So let's just read really quickly Revelation 11. We'll focus on verses 15 through 19 tonight. Again, that's somewhat redundant, but I'm sure it'll be a blessing to us. Starting at verse 1, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and altar, and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Again, 42 months is 3.5 years, a time of tribulation period. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Again, this also is representative of 3.5 years for the two witnesses to be on the scene there with the Jews. Verse 4 says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And we went back and found that in the book of Zechariah in our earlier lessons. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. That is a key verse there when trying to determine, or if we won't understand as to who the two witnesses are. That verse reveals it, because we look at the ministry of Moses and we also look at the ministry of Elijah, and we know that these are the two witnesses that will go to the Jews. Moses was one that brought the law, a prophet that was sent to bring the law. Elijah was a prophet unto all nations. So God brings, you know, God brings them both together there. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Again, 3.5 days, also another type of 3.5 years. Of tribulation period. We know that that's the time that's left for the Jews. They have 3.5 years left according to Daniel's 70 weeks. Amen. They're in the last half of the 70th week. So that's 3.5 days representing the 3.5 years. Okay. Verse 12 says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God, to the God of heaven. The second war is past, and behold, the third war cometh quickly. Verse 15 is where we'll kind of go back to tonight. 15 through 19 says this, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to thy saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. I just wanted to kind of pick up and pull a few quotes we've already gone over, but it'd be a nice refresh in some areas. One was found in The Breach. This is 1963, March 17th, and I'm at paragraph 85-4. And this is The Breach between the seven church ages. If you have your Seals book, otherwise we'll try to get it on the screen. But this just kind of goes along with the scripture here out of Revelation 11 and 18, where it says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, and they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name. And, you know, you even when you think about give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, you all remember Brother Branham going over to the other side and having experience, and he saw his wife, saw his daughter, and saw so many people, so many saints, and he was telling me he wanted to see Jesus. And the angel that was there giving him a tour say, well, you know, eventually he'll come to you and you'll be judged by what you preach. He said, will Paul be judged, you know, by what he preached? Like, yep. He said, well, I preach the same thing Paul preached. And millions said, we're resting on that. Remember the vision. Well, you know, he said, you'll come. He said, these are your people. And he said, are these all Branham's? Like, no, they're your converts. These are people that were converted underneath your ministry. And I don't think it's just people that got saved in Brother Branham's ministry. I think all of us are actually, you know, a part of that group of converts. And, you know, I believe that we were right there, you know, just represented in that number. If we did not have this message, where would we be? And, I mean, you really have to ask yourself that. Where would I be? I know for myself, with all the stuff that I see on a day-to-day basis, I'd be going crazy somewhere, you know. But thank God for a message that gives me some hope. You know, no matter what I go through, I got hope. I got something that stabilizes me and keeps me, you know. Promises that a lot of people just can't hold on to, you know, we get from being a part of this message. You know, I mean, it's you know, like Brother Branham made the comment, all that you ever loved and all that ever loved you, God will give them to you. Well, you know, I take things like that literally. You know, and I mean, I might not be able to find an exact scripture for it to support it, but I believe if God told his prophet that, he meant it, you know. And you know, and so when I see that, even if I got a loved one that just, Lord, looked like that you done took them off the scene and they didn't make it, God. God, you told me that all I ever loved and all that ever loved me gonna be there. I don't know how they gonna get there, but you say they gonna be there. See? So, you know, I hold on to things like that, and I don't try to interpret it myself. I mean, Brother Branham said in one spot, say sometimes it's hard for people to receive these type of things, but yet it is truth. You know, it's truth. So we thank God for this. But this quote that we want to pull up here, I'm focusing on this part of scripture that says, shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. This quote out of The Breach, all right, says, I hate Florida. Where they got them artificial palm trees. I'd rather see the crocodile switching his tail back in the wilderness than to see all that there put on and stuff that they do in our Hollywood and all that, their glamour and bunch of drunks. I just think someday, you know, just someday, God gonna wipe it all out, start all over again. It says, but remember, this Bible has told us in Matthew, the 5th chapter, that the meek shall inherit the earth. That's right, the meek and humble will inherit the earth. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, the simple ones that just don't try to be some great big something. Ain't that's beautiful. They don't try to be some great big something. They shall inherit the earth, Jesus said. So, yes, now they've polluted it, and God will destroy them, but the meek will inherit the earth. Let's see here. Oh, I'm sorry, I actually skipped a little bit there. Back up here at paragraph 85, 2. What they gonna do? Reap what they sow. When you see sin running in the streets, how many on this Sunday night, how many adulteries will be committed in this city tonight? And I could say Wednesday night. How many on this Wednesday night? How many adulteries will be committed in this city tonight? How many women will break their marriage vow in this little hole in the ground here called Jeffersonville? How many abortion cases you think are recorded in Chicago in 30 days? Between 25 and 30,000 per month, besides the ones that is not turned in. How much whiskey is drank in the city of Chicago? What do you think happens in Los Angeles in one night? How many times has the Lord's name been taken in vain in the city of Jeffersonville today? And we might as well say West Palm Beach. See, is it better now, or was it better when George Rogers Clark came down on the raft? You see, we have absolutely polluted the earth with our filth, and God will destroy those that destroys the world. God said so. I always thought there's something down in me like to get up in the mountains and look the way God fixed it. So, church, we're approaching this time. The scripture says it's going to happen, and we're approaching it swiftly. God going to destroy those that destroy the earth. You just think about all the sin and everything, it just can't last. I mean, it can't last. Actually, we destroy the earth ourselves with all the stuff that we do. So I'm looking forward to going home. Amen, because this is not my home. All right, I want to bring a scripture here if we can. And I got a quote that I want to read. It's going to be rather lengthy. Hosea chapter 6. This Revelation 11, verse 15 through 19, the seventh trumpet was what Brother Branham said was the great trumpet. You know, he called that the great trumpet. Not necessarily the feast of the trumpets, but this was the great trumpet, you know, when it's coming to a complete end. And he was saying how all the other six trumpets, they sounded really at the right underneath the sixth seal, which the sixth seal is for the Jews. That's a time that God begins to deal with the Jews. But if you notice just in the way that the scriptures laid out, Revelation 6 talks about the first six seals. Then Revelation 7 talks about the 144,000. Then Revelation 8, you know, begins to talk about, you know, the seventh seal. And then it also goes into the Feast of the Trumpets or the six trumpets. Just start going through that. And he was saying how you just look at how even God got it laid out in the scripture that way. The Jews being dealt with in the sixth seal, and then while they're being dealt with, the 144,000 are being called in, you know, at that time. And all of these things happen before the great trumpet, the seventh trumpet. All these things occur before that final trumpet. So, I mean, it's all just sitting there so plain in scripture and all we're just really trying to focus on is that it's time for the word to go back to the Jews. That's what we're trying to get the people to see. The Gentile day is coming to a close. It's time for the Jews to start recognizing their day, recognizing, amen, the message. So here, Hosea 6, and verse 1 says this, "Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than the burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is the city of them that work iniquity, and is polluted with blood. And as the troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. As troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent. Now, that's a powerful statement there. I was just sitting here, Lord, forgive me for even thinking it, but it's the truth anyhow, and my thoughts are heard louder in heaven than my words here on earth. But I was just kind of listening to the radio, and my family gonna hear me. You know, Lord, forgive me. I just, everybody ain't called to be no preacher. Everybody, I just gotta say it. I mean, I won't say what I heard, but everybody not called. You hear some of these things that, you know, people saying on the radio, and it sound real good, you know, and I'm just listening to it. Lord, I'm way off my subject here. But, you know, we want to have a church where all we do is just love, it's just love, it's just love, it's just love. Love, 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 love. No correction. See, just love. And come as you are. You can dress any way you want to dress. It's just love. We just love you just the way you are. Ain't no way them people reading the Bible. Ain't no way. Now, the Bible tells us that love is corrective. You know, I mean, if you go into a church like that, there's something wrong. What you got here is a troop of robbers waiting for you. All right? Priests that will murder you by consent. See? I mean, and they're not gonna stand for the truth, but by consent, they setting you up for a great kill, and you're getting in trouble with God. See, so I mean, it's just I mean, you gotta be careful. Don't let stuff just get into your spirit, what about the love? Yeah, I told you you're wrong, right? That's love. That is love. Somebody tell you when you're wrong. Amen. You know, I mean, the devil anoint our flesh and we go looking for the wrong stuff in church. You come to church to get a checkup. You know, if things ain't right, Lord, I want to get it straightened out here. They used to have an old time saying, I don't want no trouble when I get down to the river. So make sure everything is taken care of right here. You know, the house of God is a place of correction. It is. And it's done in love. I'm speaking in love right now. You know, but we have this, and you hear people saying this, and yeah, you know, I really do. I mean, Lord, I was on the job and having I had to do some work on they're having problems with the television, so I had to call the DirecTV company and all this, and so I happened to turn on the channel to view something, and I turned to the Christian channel. And I'm looking at the preacher on there, and I'm like, this man just taking people money. I mean, he ain't said nothing. All he wanted to do is, you know, I want to show you how you get a blessing. How you get a blessing. I'm going to show you how to get a blessing. Now, the way that you're going to get a blessing is that you got to give me your money in order to get a blessing. This man is robbing people. Robbing. They are robbing people. That's exactly what they're doing, church. You know, but yet we, oh, boy, that's so, oh, boy. We need the money right here. I'm saying, Lord, help us, Lord. You know, but I mean, support the local church. You know, I mean, if they wouldn't get themselves tied up in a situation like that, when they wouldn't need $25 million a day just to stay on the air. And they ain't said nothing. Ain't said nothing. They're troops of robbers waiting for a man. So the company of priests murder in the way by consent. For they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set a harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. And, you know, this just, you know, that's not part of what I want to talk about tonight. I want to kind of focus on this 2 days, and he will revive us. And then the third day, verse 2 tells us that after 2 days, will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. I want to try to hit that. This quote that I want to bring to you is out of Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. It's a rather lengthy quote. This was preached in 1964, 0726, and I'm starting at paragraph 54. Brother Branham says this. Now, Hosea said in 6:1, return to the Lord. Remember, he said that they would be scattered, and they were. We were talking about that last week. The Jews are all over. They're in every nation. They are in China. They are in Russia. They are in America. They, you know, everywhere. They've been scattered everywhere. So here the scripture saying, he said, they'll return to the Lord after they have been scattered, and he will bind them up. Notice, return, be scattered. They were torn and was blinded. That's just exactly what happened. He will heal us and bind us up. This is the Jews can look forward to this. And I love the way Brother Branham brought this in, because I never looked at this. He says, like Ezekiel 37, the dry bones, the valley full of dry bones, Ezekiel saw it, their return again. Here they are sitting they're tight there in Ezekiel 37 as the valley of dry bones, but it's some wind coming from somewhere. It's some sinew coming back on some skin, and this valley of dry bones is going to live again. See, and he's typing this over to the Jews that have been scattered, sitting in the valley all dry. But God is going to speak life back into this nation again. Listen, then notice Hosea said, and that's you know, types like that. You go and you try to preach that at a denominational church, you'd be wondering, where did you get that from? Sitting right there in the Bible, you know, sitting right there in the Bible. Listen, notice Hosea said, after 2 days, he will return to them. He will receive us and give us, revive us. Now, revive doesn't mean resurrection. Revive, there's the same word used in anywhere else. I just looked it up. It means a revival. He will revive us after 2 days. That would be in the third day, he will revive us again after he scattered us and blinded us and tore us. Amen, that's a promise. He's going to revive us. Listen, you know, the Jews were blinded for the very purpose that we could have sight. They were torn apart and scattered as a nation, rejected their Messiah, that we might receive the Messiah, that there might be a people called out of the Gentiles for his name's sake. Now the man comes forth and the woman takes his name, these blinded Gentiles who can't see that name, the Lord Jesus Christ, in baptism. It's just too bad, but it has to be that way. The Jews, they had to not see that. Ain't now that's church, that's sad, because I know people, you just be working with them, trying to get them to see, you know, can't you see baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can't you see nobody in the Bible's ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Can't you see that? And they just can't. Some of them actually see it, but just won't acknowledge that they see it. Won't acknowledge it. And here Brother Branham says, it's sad, but it has to be that way. The same way it was with the Jews when he came to them, and they couldn't see it. It's sad, but it had to be that way in order for us to receive it. Guess what? It's sad, but it's got to be that way today for the Gentiles, because it got to go back to the Jews. Amen. Listen, what you're going to see, church, ain't going to be no mass coming to the Lord or coming to the message. Let's put it that way. You're not going to see masses. You're going to see one here, one there, few here, few there. That's all you're going to see. God, it's slim pickings now, you know. And it's unfortunate that it's that way, but that's, you know, that's just the age that we live in. And, you know, it's for us to take courage, not get discouraged, but this is just what it's going to, you know, this is what we have to expect to see. There's only one can see it. That's the one who is predestinated to see it. Otherwise, you'll never see it. The Jews could not see that being their Messiah, and yet they were scholars and theologians, men of great renown, scholarship, read the same Bible that you read. Now, after it's been made known to us, we can see it plain. That was Messiah. But they couldn't see it, neither can they see it today. They are prophesied to be blinded too. The church this day is prophesied to be blinded, to reject the evening time message. Revelation 3 said so. Thou art wretched, miserable, Notice the bride's condition the other night, or the church, naked, blind, and don't know it. Lord Jesus, be merciful to us. The Bible says she was naked. I never saw it till just now. Laodicea church was naked. And when she appeared the other night, she was naked. Never noticed it and didn't know it. What he's talking about is the vision that he had of the church passing through. When Brother Branham had the vision of he saw marching on with Christian soldiers, marching on the war. And it's like, you know, it's like they was looking real good. That first group come by. Then after that, the vision continued. Another group come by. He saw them women coming. Say they was dancing to rock and roll music, and they called themselves a church. Now, church, I guarantee you, Lord, if Brother Branham was here today to see praise dancing in the church, that would be a fulfillment of his vision. Because he saw them dancing to rock and roll and called themselves a church. And he said the women he just didn't want to say it in public, but the way that they were dressed, he says all they had was really like a fig leaf on the front. He said everything was just uncovered. And he said he just began to cry when he was thinking about that. He just began to cry and like, oh, Lord, this is all we could produce, all the preaching, all the traveling, all of this, all the fasting, all the praying. That's all we could produce for you. This is what we present to you as ministers of the gospel. And he said that vision continued. And here come another group. Well, that third group is just like the first group, Alpha and Omega. See, here they come marching, and onward Christian soldiers. The sisters had long hair and long skirts, and say, my, it's just so beautiful what he was looking at there. And he say he saw a couple of them standing in the back, and them the ones that was trying to get out of step. That's why I tell you, don't hang behind the pack, hang with the pack, because when you're hanging behind the pack, it's easy for you to get picked off. See, but if you hang with the pack, I mean, if you study nature, and these brothers could probably tell you, I mean, them lions go hunting, they're going to get the one at the back. They're not going right into the middle of the pack. They might get hurt like that. But if you got one straying in the back, well, we're coming after that one. See, so that's why it's best your strength is going to be in numbers. Be protected by being within the group, not on the outside of the group. See, but you know, he saw that and say they was just getting ready to get out of step, and he was just about to yell, get back in step, get back in step. And as they getting ready to yell that, they just kind of made a little adjustment, and that's what some of us need to do, just make a little adjustment and get right back in step, you know, start marching to the beat of the gospel. But that's what he's saying as he saw, he was just thinking that vision. And now, all of a sudden, while he's preaching his message, recognizing your day and its message, the vision came back with the revelation of what Revelation 3 said, that the church was naked. He saw that in the vision. They were naked, literally naked. And I'm seeing that too. You know that praise dancing, Lord, just I'm all over the place again tonight. I don't know why. But that praise dancing, they used to start out with these long dresses, real long, you know, look real holy. Real holy. You know, that's the way they started out. They look like angels up there just dancing. All the people in the church saying, minister, minister, minister. Well, it done changed. Lord have mercy. I went to a service, I ain't gonna even say where, but I went to a service and they had some young ladies come out and do some praise dancing. And they come out with just tight pants on and a little shirt on or whatever. And they just up there dancing. Well, I'm sitting in the pulpit behind them. And all this twirling and bending and all this other stuff, you see everything right there. It used to be, and it done went from, you could tell it started out, it wasn't right what started out. Because look at where it's at right now. And if they got that going on in the church, what you think they're getting ready to come up with next? And I done been in some other situations where, you know, there's a church that put on a little Christmas pageant. And they got the people coming there looking like showgirls from New York City, you know, inside the church doing that type of stuff. Church, it's like the scriptures say, all the tables are full of vomit, even the tables in the church. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. That's love now. That's love. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. Amen. All right. But here, let me just keep on reading. Paragraph 58 says this: "Oh, how thankful, how no wonder we're so grateful. I feel that we're not grateful enough for the things that God is making known to us." I'll say that again. No wonder we're so grateful. I feel that we're not grateful enough for the things that God is making known to us. Naked. And the vision said, showed me she was naked and didn't know it, and blinded. As Israel was blinded so that the Gentiles could come in, now the Gentiles are blinded so the bride can be taken out and Israel can receive the Feast of the Trumpets just perfectly. After 2 days, he will revive us or give us a revival. After 2 days, he will revive us or give us a revival, bringing us together, the Jews speaking on these trumpets now, see? And we shall live in his sight or have eternal life. See, we'll be in his sight. The Bible said here in Hosea said, we shall live in his sight. Life, have life in his sight. That's his own life, eternal life, have life in his sight. She that lives in pleasure is dead while she's alive. See, so we promised that Israel again would have life in his sight. She's been dead to the facts and to the Pentecostal feast. Now notice carefully, then after 2 days, now that didn't mean two 24-hour days. Because there's been, that happened way back yonder many hundreds of years ago. See, it meant 2 days with the Lord. After 2,000 years, now you know how long it's been since that time. It's been 2,700 years since that, because in Hosea here, it's B.C. 780. Now he says 1964, see, it's been something over 2,700 years ago, said after 2 days, in the third day, he will revive us again and give us life in his sight. Now, we done already went past 2,000 years. And here the scripture's just laying out. And what I'm just trying to show you is how all through the scripture, how God gonna deal with them Jews and how he's promised to return to them, and even the time and the season in which he's gonna return to them. We can see clearly that, you know, here Hosea say after in 2 days, in the third day, it was already 1 day is as 1,000 years. We've already gone past 2,000 years. So right now we're living in the third day. We're living in the third day. And if he promised to return to Israel in the third day, church, we ain't got much longer. Oh my. Praise the Lord. See, after 2 days in the third day, he will revive us again and give us life in his sight. There is your trumpets coming in. That's the hour that we're living in, the day that we're living. Now they have been scattered, blinded, gathered, and afar, and are far into the third day. Now that, I like that part. We're far into the third day because it's already talked over 2,700 years, and are far into the third day. You see it? They were scattered from Palestine throughout the world. They were blinded to reject the Messiah. Now they have been gathered in their homeland, ready for the trumpets to recognize the atonement. Now, let me also just kind of drop this off. You got to be careful with numbers because I just put 2,700 years out there in the third day, and then people start trying to calculate things. Well, maybe we got, 2,700 years in the third day. If it's God's time is 1,000 years, so maybe we got 300 more years left. And don't start doing that. You know, I mean, you're going to be way, way out. Like Brother Branham said, you have your cow picking grass out of a top of a tree, and you don't want to do that. Keep your cow on the ground and let him get some grass. See? So just, I mean, I'm just kind of showing you just a little something here that it was laid in the scripture that in the third day, he was going to be giving Israel a revival. See, he was going to revive Israel again. And we're living in that third day now. Praise the Lord. That's just a biblical term. So you go around telling somebody that, you know, you tell your neighbors and your coworkers that last night I found out we living in the third day. What? They think you're kind of off your rocker. But you got to be able to go back to Hosea and tell them and show them, you know, what this is all about. That's why even in the book of Joel, when it said in the last days, that's plural. That's not just for the day of Pentecost. That's why we can look for the same experience that they had on Pentecost to happen to us, because he promised in the last days that's over. That's that, and last days could be plural. I mean, it is plural. It's more than just one. Could be more than two. Could be more than three. But we know that last days includes us. We know it includes us. So I can link. I can stand just like Peter, and when the Holy Spirit start pouring down, and I'm talking about like the way it poured out in the day of Pentecost, all 120 was filled. So that means everybody come to the church. We looking for them to get to receive something from God. And if we got one missing, well, the way it ain't been fulfilled yet, we gotta come back again, stay up in the upper room for another day. Come on back again. Let's have another service until everybody's filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we'll stand up and say, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit." That's what I'm talking about. Amen. We can hold God to His promises. All right, let me try to keep reading. This is rather lengthy, but it's good. Amen. Okay, paragraph 62 at the top there. They have been scattered, blinded, gathered, and are far into the third day. You see it? They were scattered from Palestine throughout the world. They were blinded to reject the Messiah. And now they have been gathered in their homeland, ready for the trumpets to recognize the atonement. As the Bible said, when they receive it, and find him with nail scars after the church is taken. And they say, "Where did you get these scars?" And we read that a few weeks ago. He said, "In the house of my friends." And he said they would separate each family, would cry and weep for days like a family that lost their only son. Remember, that Feast of Trumpets was to do that, to weep, mourn for the killed sacrifice if they had rejected it. There in their land, they were scattered, blinded, and now gathered. It was all under that sixth seal. Their seven trumpets sounded together, sounded to gather them together, the sixth trumpet. The seventh is that great trumpet, as we had last Sunday. The sixth trumpet sounded under the sixth seal, just like our sixth seal opened everything at the same time, only theirs all sounded at once, where we've been 2,000 years in the Pentecostal feast. So he's telling those six trumpets all sounding underneath the sixth seal. They all happening at the same time. We know by Revelation what all that represents and what, I mean, it's to the Jews. We don't have to worry about it. I don't plan on being here, you know, to see when it all begins to take place, but I know what's going to happen by Revelation. I can, somebody asks you what that scripture means, you have clarity that you can bring to them. You know, this is for the Jews. This is not for the Gentiles. It's for the Jews. You can take them to quotes like this to get them even a little deeper in that. All right, listen. Now 2,700 years since that time, he said, in the third day we'll be gathered again. After 2 days, in the third day we'll be gathered again and receive life in his sight. Do you see the promise? The hour perfectly wrote on the wall. We see where we are living. Now in the homeland, waiting for the Feast of the Trumpets or the recognizing of the atonement, and to wait for the coming, to mourn for their rejection of the first time that they rejected. They're in the homeland for that, waiting. What are they? Everything is positionally placed. As the minister of the gospel, I can't see one thing left but the going of the bride. And the bride has to be taken away before they can recognize what has happened. They were bound, scattered. I mean, they were scattered, blinded, and now gathered. What's left? The bride to be taken out of the way, waiting for the going of the bride so their prophets of Revelation 11 can call them to the Feast of the Trumpet to make them to recognize what they have done. And I believe that's where we're at, church. Remember, right between those seals came forth the sixth seal. There was 144,000 chosen and called. And between the sixth and seventh trumpet, Revelation 11 appears right there exactly in line with the sixth seal. And again, you just read that right out of the scripture. The sixth seal ended in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 7 is these 144,000. Revelation 8 is the seventh seal. You know, then you start seeing the sixth trumpets that are blowing. That's also for the Jews. And then while those trumpets are blowing, two witnesses in Revelation 11, you know, they come forth. So many things happen. Revelation 10 took place. Another mighty angel coming down. We know we showed you the picture of the cloud of the seven angels and how they form the face of Christ. You know, these things are They're not happening by accident. Many people see that picture and think it's just clouds. But we know seven angels that came from eternity that met with God's prophet to give him a revelation to preach to the bride. So that we have clarity about these scriptures. So it's all in how people look at it. Some of them are just blinded to it. They just will never see it. But, you know, only the predestinated, they will see it. Amen. Listen. Between the sixth and seventh trumpet, Revelation 11 appears right there exactly in line with the seal. Paragraph 68, what to do? What was it to do? And this was to bring forth two witnesses, Moses and Elias, prophets, which the Jews only believe their prophets, and they'll come forth with the sign of the prophets. Their work will be that of the prophet, for they did exactly. Showing one thing, that man, when you die or whatever, when you leave this world, your nature doesn't change. If you're a liar now, you'll be a liar there. If you're hot-headed here, you'll be hot-headed there. If you're a doubter here, you'll be a doubter there. Men and women, it's time to shake yourselves and to examine yourselves and see where we are standing, for death does not change it. Don't think you're going to change when you die. If you die a liar, you're going to be lying on the other side. Well, Lord, I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. If you lie to me, what you do? And God is representing at me. I mean, you don't realize, like, and I can say that now. I can say that. You know why? Because they lied to Peter. They thought they was lying to Peter. And when they start, well, yeah, we sold it for this much, Peter. We said, Peter. Why would you let the devil tempt you to lie to the Holy Ghost? I mean, not Peter, it's the Holy Ghost. You let the devil tempt you to lie. So if they would stand right there in the presence of Peter and lie, in the presence of the Holy Ghost and lie, they'll do it on the other side. Amen. No fear. Amen. This is what people have today. No fear. They don't fear God. They don't fear, I mean, especially, you know, we ought to fear God in one another. Even when we talk to one another, we ought to fear God in each other. Brother Branham, his wife, said the wrong thing at the wrong time. She got upset with the prophet because he wouldn't chastise the child the way that she thought that the child should be chastised, and she just flew off the handle. And Brother Branham was okay with that. You know, he understood. I mean, hey, we husband and wife, these things happen. Well, he went on out to the car, you know, because it's better to be on the rooftop than in the house with a, you know, wrong woman. That's the Bible. But he went on out to the car, and I just sitting out there just trying to do, just, you know, get his mind off it. All of a sudden, he got a visitation. Go back in there and tell her, I'm not pleased with what she just said. Lord, don't send me back in there to tell her, thus saith the Lord. Nah. I mean, she upset. You want me to go tell her, thus saith the Lord, why she upset? Lord, please go back in there and tell her she got to pay for that. I wasn't pleased with that. And turn your Bible to this scripture right here, and you read what I did with Miriam when she spoke wrong to Moses. You read about it, and you go and tell her, same way I felt about Miriam, that's the way I feel about her right now. And she's going to have to pay for that one. Dear, God told me to tell you, he was displeased with the way that you just handled that, and you're going to have to pay for it. What's she going to say? Ain't much she can say. But there she developed a tumor. And, you know, she had that tumor for a number of years. For some time, a lot of discomfort with that tumor. And, I mean, it grew to, I think it became almost like the size of a grapefruit almost, or something like that, really big tumor. And Brother Brandon would pray and pray, and it's like God would not hear the prayer. And he had to go away. He was on the way preaching at another church. And while he was there preaching, right before he went into the pulpit, the angel Lord while he was there in his room praying, the angel Lord came and visited him. You know, you can, whatever you ask for, you can have it now. They say, before the doctor's hand touched my wife, that tumor gonna be gone. And they took her 24 hours. She had the tumor. They said, okay, we're gonna have the surgery tomorrow. They took her and say, you know, well, before we do the surgery, let's just check one more time. They checked one more time, the tumor was gone. Before the doctor's hand touched his wife's body, that tumor disappeared, but she had to suffer for the way that she spoke to her husband. Amen. Now, Don't get me wrong. That don't mean that the husband can just say whatever he wants to say to his wife. That was said that we have to respect God and one another. We have to respect God and one another. Yeah. Brother Branham one time told his wife to tell a lie. You know, tell him I'm not in here. She came back to that, she looked at it, and started crying, said, no, you know. That man, that lawyer was called in the house, and he said, I just can't take no more. I can't take no more pressure from this guy. It's too much stress. Just, he got up out the house, out the living room, and walked out the back door. Now tell him I'm not in there. Bill, you want me to do, tell him I'm not in there. Just tell him. Told the man that he wasn't in there. And went back to the door. She just started crying, looking at him, just crying. Bill, you know that wasn't right. I wasn't in the house when you told him I was in the house. I actually wasn't in the house. You know that wasn't right. I ain't going to argue with you. Okay, you go on. You know how you get, you know. That's right. I wasn't in the house. It wasn't really a lie, you know, because I wasn't in the house. You know, I was outside the house when you told him. But you was in the house when you told me to tell him that you wasn't in the house. And that's not a tongue twister, because some of us do this. And, you know, thank God that God's prophet would share all of his things that happened in his life, because it helps us to see that he was a human being. And God could use him. Amen. God could use us. But he got himself all together. Like, yeah, I went in the house. I mean, I'm good with that. He went, and somebody called him, come pray for their baby. He just rushed out to go pray for that baby. And he got there to pray for that baby. And conviction just hit him. Man, you just lied. How you going to pray for somebody? You a liar. How you going to pray for somebody? You know, ain't no way I'm going to hear no prayer like that. Brother, I'm sorry. This man baby about to die. Brother, I can't pray for your baby. I done hindered God. I can't do it. Got up and said, brother, just give me a few minutes. I got to go make something right. I'll be back. Got up, left that baby there, and you know, and he went back to that lawyer's office, knocked on the door and said, brother, I have to apologize. I'm sorry. I lied. You know, I told my wife to tell you that I wasn't in the house. I was in the house. I just got up, left the house, and had her tell you that I wasn't in the house. He said, brother, I always believed in you. Say, but I believe in you now more than ever before that you would come down here and do something like that. He said, don't worry about this case. It's going to be all right. And Brother Branham was clear. His heart was clear. Then he rushed back over and prayed for that baby, and God healed the baby. But he had to get things right. See? So, you know, we be careful in the way that we speak to one another. We don't want to hinder the